So today we're kicking off a new series. It's a four-week series. I get to kick off a series. Like, how exciting is that? Come on. The series is called Is It Enough? And if you've been here at Beloved Church for any amount of time, or whether you've been following us online, you're going to know that we don't shy away from holding culture and mindsets up to the truth of God's word. Why? Because we believe that the role of leadership in church is to teach you to be followers of Jesus in every way. Because it's only then that we grow and that faith starts to grow inside us, and we learn to spot the cultural ideas that promise a lot of things but really just lead us into bondage. So God's truth doesn't just inform us, it transforms us, it breaks off false mindsets, and it leads us into the real freedom that only Jesus can provide, right? Amen? Okay, so Father, we thank you for your word today. We know that it is living and it is active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, let this word find good soil in every heart here, soil that's ready to receive, to grow, and to bear good fruit. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Open eyes, heal wounds, draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to Jesus. Breathe on this word. Anoint it and let it accomplish everything that you've purposed for it. And when we leave this place, we may not just be hearers of this word, but we will be doers of this word, walking in the freedom that you have given us here today. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want you to just turn it up just a little bit today with your energy. I want you to be talking back. I want you to be preaching. Amen. That's good. Come on. Because you know what? I believe that God has something here for us today. I'm revved up about this message, so I'm going to jump right in. So this is a good time to pull out your notepads, your iPads, your actual paper, whatever it is, because you know what I say? I believe that there's a special place in heaven for note takers. At least I hope that there is, because I will see Megan in the front row up there. Okay, so let's lean in and listen close and see what God has for each of us here today, because if you're in the room, I believe this message is for you. If you're watching online, I believe this message is for you. The title of today's message is Love Gives. And let's be honest, when someone gets up in church and starts talking about giving, we all kind of get a little bit twitchy, right? Like twitchy, like we check if our wallets are in our pocket, our purses are not uptight, or maybe I go into the lobby and just check something out real quick, right? Twitchy. And I'm probably going to step on a few toes today, but that's okay. God steps on my toes all the time, and he stepped on my toes while I was writing this message here today. So how many of you believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive? Okay, I hope you didn't just lie in church. Okay, because, come on, I'm going to be honest, receiving is pretty great too. Like, have you ever gone through a drive-thru and somebody paid for your Tim Hortons or whatever it is? Like, there's such a joy in that. I remember on Christmas Day, I'd be underneath the Christmas tree and I'd be counting all the presents to see what was under there, seeing how many were mine and how many were everybody else's. Because, like, I just didn't want anybody else to get gypped. I mean, come on. No, it wasn't. I just wanted to make sure I was getting my fair share. Like, I hated it if after I opened my last present, someone still had one. Like, it just, I didn't like that. Receiving gifts feels pretty good. But Jesus says that it's better to give than to receive. And why did he say that? Because when you give, something moves in you. Something starts to change in and through you that impacts others around you. See, I used to be really uncomfortable when people would ask me for money on the street. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. And if I'm being honest, I was judgmental and I'd avoid eye contact or I'd act like I was busy so I didn't have to engage. And this one day that I was at this red light in the South in Nanaimo, turning left, and there was a man standing at that little meridian thing and he had his hat in his hand. God's going to break my heart again. But when I was sitting at that light, Jesus got a hold of my heart for that man, and he put something on my heart, and it wasn't pity, it was love. So I did what I've never done. I rolled down that window, and I looked him in the eyes. And I think I only had a $5 bill, because who carries money? And I put that $5 in his hat, and I said, Jesus sees you, and he loves you. And in that moment, God put something on my heart so big for that man. And in that moment that I saw that God is love and he is giving and he's generous. And he used me. When my eyes met with that man, something happened and I felt the overwhelming love of Jesus pouring through me for this man. And right there at that red light, Jesus used that small act of giving to completely transform my heart. My mindset shifted, and instead of seeing someone asking for money, I started to see someone that was deeply loved by God. And what I learned, that God is infinitely generous. You see, I would have driven right by, not gonna lie. I would have looked the other way, but Jesus wouldn't let me. He wanted to teach me something about generosity that day. Okay. And I want to teach today. So today, I want to take a look at a couple of verses in the Bible. I want to do a little bit of deductive reasoning, a little bit of Socratic debating, and a little bit of algebra. Come on, you didn't know there's going to be a pop quiz in church today. I used to hate pop quizzes because I never studied, ever. Anyways, so I'm going to start. Man, I'm confessing stuff up here today. Okay, so let's start with a question. Let's take a look at 1 John 4 and 8. Okay? There it is. Whoever does not love God, whoever does not love, does not know God, because God is love. Okay, so what does the Bible say about God? Just shout out. God is love. Come on. Come on. Remember I said you're going to have to bring the energy up and talk back? It's okay. Okay? God is love. Right. So did we put it as an equation? Is there a slide for that? I don't know. So if we were putting it into a math equation, then we'd say God equals love. Anyways, so now let's look at John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Okay, so what did God do because he loved the world? He gave. Come on. Okay, so that, if we were putting that into a math equation, we would say God equals love. So if we know that God equals love and God equals giving, then what does love equal? Giving. See, I told you all the students are back in the house today. Thank you. That's giving. Come on, that's good. Come on. You know what? And God is good. He made that grade 8 algebra that I hated pay off. That's awesome. So a bunch of you got that word right. So I'm going to give you an A plus, an amen plus. Come on. Come on. Someone give an amen. Give yourself a hand. Anyways. So love. I'm going to talk about that word. It's on commercials. It's everywhere. It's in songs. I love strawberries. I love coffee. I love Taylor Swift. I love my new jeans. I love my boo. Whatever boo is. I don't know. I think Megan's my boo. I don't know. I should have probably Googled that one to see what it is. Anyways. We talk about love. We throw it around so casually. I love my shoes. I love this song. I love tacos. I really do love tacos. And all of that's fine. But the truth is that love isn't just a feeling or a vibe or a hashtag. Here's the counter-cultural punch to the tummy that you've been waiting for. Love is a person, and his name is Jesus. So yeah, you can still love Taylor Swift. I know we have some closet Swifties in here. See, I'm not looking at anybody right now. You can still love your jeans, put patches and holes and stuff all over them the way that you want, and I can still love my boo, okay? But I love the one who loved me first. Okay, so we determined that love is giving and that love is a person and that his name is Jesus and that generosity is his language, which means that as followers of Jesus, that should be our language too. It seems pretty simple, right? The problem is that we have a lot of mindsets about giving that get in our way. And I want to talk about two mindsets today and see what God has to say about both of them. The first one I want to look at is in Haggai 1:6. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." The first mindset that I want to look at is a bag mindset. So what the scripture is saying is that no matter how much comes in, it never feels like enough. It's like pouring water into a bag with a hole in it. It just leaks out. And a bag mindset leaves us in constant fear that we're never going to have enough. And some of you may have heard this called the scarcity mindset or the scarcity cycle, which is that God supplies, we consume, we lack, we fear, repeat. And I know it's really easy, especially today, to get into this mindset with housing costs and food costs. I mean, everything costs money. And it seems like there's a lot more month left at the end of our money. But if we're really honest about this, this isn't really a money problem, it's a faith problem. See, I'm sure many of us have walked through this or are walking through this right now. And we start to trust in the wrong things. We start to trust in our own works. We start to trust in the more that we can hustle. We start to trust in our ability to manage money better than God. And we start to say, no, you're God. but I know what I'm doing in this part of my life. We hang out on Sunday, but on Monday to Friday, I'm good. But that's not showing trust that God will provide in every season and in every situation. And when we have a bag mindset, we start thinking security comes from our savings account, not from the source. And we feel anxiety over bills and over money. And we feel like we can't give or we will give when things get better. And these things, they sound like pretty good ideas, except that's not what the Bible says. If you look at Matthew 6, oh, there's a scarcity cycle. Matthew 6, 31 to 33, it says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Sounds like a date night. "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Fear has so many of us by the neck. And I really believe it's time that it gets its hands off God's people. Don't fall into the scarcity trap. Maybe the hard question that you need to ask is, do you trust money more than you trust God? Are you counting on money to provide you things that only God can provide? Okay, newsflash. I used to be a hustler, okay? When things got tight, I could just hustle. Make a few moves, turn this into that, get myself out of a tight situation, ethics and morals aside. And a few years ago, I was in one of those tight spots and I was losing money every month in my business, working 7 days a week and going further and further behind. There was one setback after another and I was saved and I was going to church and I was doing all the things and I was giving a little bit here and there. But if I was honest, I was giving so that the pastors could see I was good and I was doing my good deeds and I was checking all the boxes and doing all the things. And I wanted to hustle my way out of that situation that I was in. And God got a hold of me and he said, "No, trust me." See, God was training me to trust him and not my hustle. He was protecting me from relying on my own provision. Because a part of me didn't think that the God that created heaven and earth, the God that formed dirt into man and breathed life into it, the God that delivered me from addiction before I could take my next breath, I didn't believe that that God could breathe life into my finances. I had a faith problem. I didn't have a money problem. Let's get real for a second. Sometimes when we say, "I can't afford it right now," what we're really saying is, "I can't afford because my $12.99 Xbox Live payment just came out. I can't afford because my Spotify, Netflix, Disney Plus just came out and hit my card on the same day. I can't afford to give because my fancy coffee budget for this week is already used." See, the problem is that something else is wearing the crown and sitting on the throne where God should be. And here's a danger. Jesus says, watch out, be on guard for all kinds of greed. And greed doesn't always look like Scrooge McDuck swimming in a vault. I think I got that for you. Yeah, there we go. There's Scrooge McDuck. Swimming in a vault of money, I don't know. You know what? If you're over a certain age, you missed all the best cartoons. I'm telling you what. If anybody knows who Scrooge McDuck is, he was the uncle of Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Come on. If you didn't know Pluto and Goofy and Mickey Mouse, you missed out. Man, I miss Saturday mornings. I wish I never grew up. I got a Peter Pan thing that's really big. Anyways, sometimes greed is just me letting my priorities drift so far from God that my comforts sit on the throne where my provider should be. And look, friends, I'm not up here trying to convict you. I'm trying to help us walk in freedom. That includes me. God gave us his word, his living and breathing word, and we need to use it as a litmus test, as a compass, and a foundation for everything in our lives. You see, the thing is, God doesn't need our money. It's his already. See, we aren't owners of what he has given us. We're stewards of it. See, my wife and I are trying to put some money aside right now because we have a few things coming up. Daughter's wedding in Mexico in the spring, and with wedding costs and travel costs, we need to get ahead in our savings. You know, because we're new school. By new school, I mean that we save for things and plan for things. We don't charge for things and go into debt for things. We're new school. Maybe that's a word for somebody in this house. Anyways, one area that we were trying to cut some costs in was in our grocery budget. And so here's what God had to say about our grocery budget. I opened my cupboards, and I'm not without a word of a lie, we have enough food in there for a year. I said that I was telling the story the other day, and I think Lacey and Graham, who helped us move, said, you have 2 years of food in your cupboards, at least. Graham's back still hurts today from that. Anyways, some days I open that cupboard and I look at all those ingredients and I say, that's not what I want. Let's go out for dinner, $75. Or I look in those cupboards and say, I don't feel like that tonight. Let's go to the grocery store and buy something else, $100. And then at the end of the week, I'm throwing away produce that's gone bad. I'm throwing away sauces that I used one tablespoon out of because I just had to have hoisin chicken. And this is what God put on my heart. You asked me to step in. I provided and you threw it in the trash. How are you being a good steward with what I have given you? And I'm going to be honest. That put me on my knees in front of God, I'll tell you. Because in order for God to move in my budget, something had to shift in me. I wasn't being a good steward with what God has given me. Look, I tithe not because the pastor sees it, because God sees it. And because God commands it in his Bible. And I'm not just covering my bases. It's the truth that I believe that God can do more with that 90% with him in it than 100% with him not in it. I tried the other way. It's just good business. I'm telling you that right now. Now I want to tell you about another mindset. I want to tell you about a barn mindset. Okay? A barn mindset is the exact opposite of a bag mindset. A bag mindset says, there's never enough. A barn mindset says, there's so much that I might need to build a bigger barn. So let's read what God promises in Deuteronomy 28:8. The Lord will send such a blessing on your barns, on everything you put your hands to. The Lord God, your God, will bless you in the land that he's giving you. So you hear that? It's not just about how hard you work or how many hours you log. It's about God sending blessings on everything that you touch. Your job, your business, your family, your friendships, all of it. And not a trickle blessing, not a little at a time. He's talking about a barn-busting overflow. He's saying he'll bless your storehouses until they can't contain it. And I've seen it in my life. Amen. Come on. Listen, the invitation that he gives in Malachi 3:10 should cut us each. It should challenge us. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. God says, test me. It's one of the only scriptures, if not the only scripture, where he tells us to put him to the test. He's daring us with our giving. And here's the promise. When we do, he says he will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be room enough to store it. And that's kingdom abundance. That's barn mindset. When we trust God so fully with what you have that he trusts you more with even more. It's funny, I always seem to land on the giving message. I don't know why that is. But I think the reason that I always land on the giving message is because I have seen financial miracles in my life. Because I was so far from God in so many ways. And I thought, God could never bless a person like me. And when I became faithful, he did open the windows of heaven over my life. In so many ways. My wife, my pastors, most of all with him. See, God supplies, we give, God multiplies, and then our faith builds, and then we do it all over again. And I just want you to picture that right now. Not just having enough to cover your bills, but having more than enough to bless someone else. What if God is using you to answer somebody else's prayer? We don't have that generosity, that barn mindset. then we will miss that call to be a blessing in somebody else's life. See, the barn mindset, that's the mindset of faith that expects God's provision and abundance and overflow. Because when you give with a barn mindset, you give with open hands because you trust the one who's going to fill them. You step out in generosity and expectation, not in fear. You live as if God's promises are already true because they are. I want to show you something in the Bible about generosity. It's in 2 Corinthians. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Now, if you're new to church or newish to church and you're wondering who Paul is, Paul wasn't always a Christian. Paul, in fact, was a persecutor of Christians. He's like that person who's always stirring up trouble in a group chat. Except he's not just sending annoying texts. He's literally arresting and executing Christians. And Jesus shows up to him one day and he blinds him with his glory and he changes his heart and he calls him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's us, the non-Jews. And from then on, Paul spends the rest of his life traveling and preaching and planting churches and writing letters that make up a big chunk of our New Testament. And one of those letters that he wrote is to the church of Corinth, where he tells them about another group of leaders called the believers, called the Macedonians. Now, the Macedonians, Macedonia is not a place. It's sort of like a region. And it's not the shiny upscale part of the Roman Empire. It isn't Rome with marbled streets and political influence. It's more like the economically struggling small town region. Let's think about communities today where factories have closed and jobs are scarce and everyone's just making ends meet. That's Macedonia. And these people weren't choosing between Starbucks and Sirius coffee. These people were choosing between breakfast and dinner. Yet listen to what Paul says about them. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 and 4. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. This part is just. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. They begged Paul, don't you dare leave us out of this offering. We may not have much, but we know who our God is. We know who our provider is. And if we can be a blessing, if we can speak into that situation with anything, don't you dare pass us by. They gave because they knew that their God would provide. And that's the barn mindset. Not I can't, not maybe one day, but I get to give because God supplies. And here's the truth. If we don't change our mindset, it doesn't matter what's in our pockets. You can put more zeros on a paycheck, but if your heart hasn't shifted, you won't either. Paul gives us this kingdom cycle. God supplies, we give, God multiplies, our faith builds, and we give again. Come on, that's so good. But if you've got a bag mindset, I'm sniffling away up here. But if you've got a bag mindset, you live like there's a hole in your pocket, and you're always thinking, if I give, I'm going to have less. You hold on tight. The thing is, it still slips away. It's still never enough. But a barn mindset says, if I give, God will fill it again. Come on. God will fill it again and more. And the difference between living in fear and running out and living in faith that God never runs out. And that's why the more money we have isn't going to make us more generous. It's only going to magnify who you already are. If you're generous now, more money is going to make you more generous. If you're selfish now, more money is just going to make you hold on tighter. And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that money's bad. It's not a bad thing. God has prospered so many people who have hearts after God, who are committed to moving the gospel of Jesus forward. What I'm saying is that money doesn't change your heart. It only turns up the volume on what's already there. And the generosity goes beyond just our money, because when we're generous with our finances, generosity flows through us in everything. It flows out in our words. It flows out in our outreach and the way that we treat other people and the way that we serve. See, here at Beloved, one of our discipleship values is that we lead the way in irrational generosity. because we're not hoarders of what God given us. We are stewards of it. And that's why we can support church planting around the world, orphan care in Malawi, the island crisis care, loaves and fishes, and local serve days. We do it because we know it's all His anyways, and we love to be a generous church. We give because He gave first. And if love gives, then we can't truly love without giving. Listen, this just isn't about dollars and cents. This is about discipleship. This is why we're talking about it. We're not after your money. We're after your discipleship. We're after you being faithful followers of Christ and His word. If you think that you come here on Sunday to church and that's what it's all about, you're mistaken. Because you come here to church to become sons and daughters of God, to be image bearers of Christ, be Holy Spirit filled and empowered to go out into this world and change it. This world's not going to change if we sit in here on Sunday. This world changes Monday to Saturday. This is about discipleship. Because money always follows your master. And if money is your master, I will promise you your peace, your security, your power, you'll have none of it. But Jesus as your master, He does. He doesn't just promise, He provides. Come on. He gave Himself entirely, even to the point of death on the cross, so that you could be rich in mercy and grace and eternal life. The cross is the ultimate barn mindset. Jesus didn't give just what was left over. He didn't say, I can't afford this right now. He gave everything, and because He gave everything, we live. So today it's time to switch your mindset, to stop saying I can't and start saying I get to. Because when you trust God with your giving, He will supply, He will multiply, and your faith will grow. We don't want to be people with a bag mindset holding back. We want to be a barn mindset church, full and overflowing and ready to pour out because God never runs out. So we've seen the Macedonians, people who didn't have much in their pockets, but they had everything that they needed in their provider. They didn't just give money, they gave themselves first to the Lord. And the truth is, generosity is not really about money. It's about lordship. Because your money, your time, your relationships, they always follow your master. If self is your master, you're going to hold on. If fear is your master, you're going to hide away. But if Jesus is your master, you open your hands because you know His hands were opened first for you. The greatest act of generosity in history was not somebody writing a big check. The greatest act of generosity in history was a man on a cross giving His life for us. Paying a debt that I could never pay. Paying a debt that we could never pay. And that's not a bag mindset. That's not even a barn mindset. That's a heaven mindset. Giving it all, holding nothing back so that we could have life. And now just like the Macedonians give themselves first to the Lord, you have that same opportunity here today. Not to give Him your money first, but to give Him your heart. That's the first step. Before you give Him your wallet or your calendar or your future, give Him you. When you do, you'll discover that the God who supplies barns on earth or who supplies eternal life in heaven provides for you. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond, because I believe there are people here today who have been living in quiet and heavy fear. You've been doing your best. You've been working hard. You've been trying to make ends meet. But deep down, you've been worried that, what if God doesn't come through this time? You looked at the bills and you looked at the bank accounts and you looked at your needs. And if you're being honest, your heart sinks. And you love Him. And you believe Him. But lately, fear's been speaking louder than your faith. And I want you to know that God sees you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's on your table, and He knows exactly what's on your heart. He's not blind to your needs. He's not deaf to your prayers. And if that's you, if you've been feeling that fear of not enough, and you need God's peace and provision, I want you to point to bow their heads right now, okay? Just bow your heads. If you've been feeling that fear, that maybe God won't come through right now, that you feel like you're at your end of yourself and needing faith to step in, and you're saying, yes, Lord, that's me. I need you to be my provider in a way that I can see and I can feel and I can trust, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see hands all over the place.